Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becklass AB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
The John Anik and Kenny Florian podcast. John Anik and Kenny Florian.
I f***ing love them. I can't get enough of them.
Let's hear that Boston accent.
Big jab there from Duffy and Frank Mir is hurt now. Down goes Duffy on cold. Frank Mir does it again. Rock'em sock'em robots here. Oh my goodness.
Hyperbole.
They're a couple of absolutely self-involved bullshit artists.
Here are your hosts, John Anik and Kenny Florian.
Headshot. Bang.
Oh, big week continues. Wednesday, March 6th, 2024. It's episode 472 of the Anik and Florian podcast. John Anik, Kenny Florian, Jason Anik, manager of Anik and Florian LLC. We might actually dissolve that limited liability company in a few days. More on that maybe later, maybe not. Hey, Jay, how much we paying Ken Flo to wear the One More Sleep UFC 299 merchandise?
Oh, it looks terrific. I told him he looked young out of the gate with that new fade. And John, you're matching. That's nice. A little blue hat, a little blue shirt.
We didn't intend to match. Do you believe that or no?
No.
UFC 299 just a few days away. So as you might expect, the Miami pay-per-view will dominate our program today. We will talk to Matty Betts. Ken Flo and Brian Petrie will also preview eight of the fights on the card, and they will spend their $1,000 in place your bets. But we got Jay here today because he's got some content that he wants to throw our way before we get into all of the UFC 299 business. So without further delay, Jay, we did poll our Anik and Florian podcast audience on this question to try to solicit some popular and public opinion as well. But your mic is hot. It's a shitty blue mic, but have at it.
Oh, that's all right. Well, I should be in studio, but I will get to that question real quick. But in case
you're
you guys-
not invited in studio today, is that right?
Well, it looks like some gold friend took my place above your left shoulder.
That's right. We got the golden gorilla right there. Looking pretty good on the three shot, does he not? Is he fucking not?
So real quick, before I get into that first question, in case you guys weren't going to do it, and I'm sure you guys are professionals, you were going to do this. Ken Flo is going to be in Miami. So if you don't know, now you know. Saturday, March 9th, Grails Miami. Bilal Muhammad and I will actually be at Grails Miami Thursday. But Grails Miami for Ken Flo, 7 to 8:30, the night of the fight. You get Ken Flo boots on the ground. So those of you maybe not going to the event, find Ken Flo, 7 to 8, Grails Miami. John, I see you nodding, but that's exciting, Flo. We're happy to have you at the pay-per-view, courtesy of Jose Cuervo.
I can't wait, man. Hopefully I get to see you guys. It's always a good time in South Florida, man. So very excited to be there. Obviously a huge event. Can't wait to talk about it, but... yeah, good things, man.
Love it. All right. Gentlemen, we're going to get both your thoughts on this question. And we want two answers. So the question is, what are some unpopular opinions you would die defending? We're looking for one unpopular opinion related to mixed martial arts and maybe one unrelated to mixed martial arts. Anything you want. We're going to start with Kenneth whenever you're ready.
All right, here we go. All right, let me just preface this. Okay, I think that the fighters are better right now in 2024. The fights are better. The commentary is better. All that stuff. But I will say the sport is lamer right now in 2024. I think there was a shift right around 2017 where, I don't know, the sport got a little less cool, I think, just because of the whole social media thing, people going over the top with how they kind of promote fights. I think it lost a certain authenticity, maybe, and that's kind of my take. But I don't know. Maybe that's not a new take, but that's my take.
Well, I think a lot of fans who responded, they kind of dovetail with that opinion. I want to throw some of the fan responses out here if I could. These are unpopular opinions. I find it interesting. A lot of people throw their opinions out there and they actually are pretty popular opinions. This one from Hawk Shred: the BMF belt should be replaced with an open weight division and an open weight world champion. Ooh. I love that idea, Hawk Shred. I really enjoy that. I'm not suggesting that we replace the BMF belt, but could you imagine an open weight division in the UFC in which the promotion could selectively give fighters that opportunity. I think that would be absolutely fascinating. Chips in the center of the table right there with you, Hawkshred, on an open weight division. Kempfler, what do you think about that?
Pantoja versus Aspinall, UFC 308. Let's go.
Well, UFC 303, May 4th, we need a headliner. This one from Look At My Opinion. Demetrius Johnson's resume would surpass John Jones's resume for pound-for-pound GOAT status since they have similar amount of accomplishments, but DJ's opponents were more athletic and better at MMA. Hmm. Now, I don't agree with the latter part of that. I do believe even though some of the legends in John Jones's wake were a little bit longer in the tooth, I still would put his strength of schedule way ahead of Demetrius Johnson's, even though I have no problem with DJ in the GOAT conversation. And then Outlook, in my opinion, also said beer as a drink to complement a meal is disgusting. I think there are a lot of people that don't look to barley and hops and beer as a meal complement anyway. So I have the exact same unpopular opinion as at Enfuego 101. A fight should never be interrupted from the clinch on the cage or stood up from the ground. I believe it is the stuck fighter's job to get out of the position in which they find themselves. Now, Kenny, I think, subscribes to some of this. I know Joe Rogan subscribes to a lot of this with me. I just feel like grappling as a whole doesn't get the credit it deserves from judging when it comes to the scoring criteria and the open interpretation nature of it. I don't think we give grappling enough credit. So in these clinch situations, there's so much inconsistency and such a huge range when it comes to how the referees handle these situations, whether it's getting fighters out of the clinch or standing them up on the ground when they don't see enough action. As far as I'm concerned, if Vitor Petrino's hands are clasped around Tyson Pedro in the clinch, nobody should ever fucking take that position away from him unless Tyson's able to get him to separate his hands. So a lot of fans and promoters don't like that at all, but I'm with Enfuego 101. Kenny, what do you think about that?
That warms my heart, kid, hearing that. I think that's accurate. I'll say this, to create a little bit of consistency, because in the same way that, say, two guys that are circling each other aren't really fighting, and let's say they're doing nothing, there's no initiation towards trying to fight or hit each other, I think that would be the equivalent of being in the clinch and doing nothing. If you were in the clinch and working for something, there's no way that should be, even if someone's like stopping the takedown or doing something, if they are working for something, do not break them up. If they are doing absolutely nothing, like just hugging each other, no movement, no initiation to grapple, then yeah, I would say, hey, give them some time. If that time, like a certain time elapses, then break them up. But if they're working in that clinch, do not break them up. So I would say that would kind of maybe create a little bit of congruency between the stand-up striking aspect and the grappling aspect.
Congruency, I like it. Great stuff out of you both, you, for the sake of time. John,
hang on a second. Herb Dean actually in one championship this past weekend DQ'd Arjun Singh Buller for timidity, which I do think is interesting. But yeah, I think there's a lot of truth to what Kenny is offering up there. At Zarian Combi said Shrek is a top 10 movie in history, regardless of genre. So certainly having fun with the question there. Maybe not. That's an unpopular opinion. I also liked one fan threw out there for title fights. He wants 3 10-minute rounds. And I do think there are some interesting scenarios that you can imagine when you think about an untimed fight or a 10-minute round or an untimed round. But obviously, we had some issues with our heavyweight main event this weekend. So these solutions, these opinions are not perfect. Jay, can we get to our non-MMA opinions? Do we have time for that?
Yeah, go quick.
So I am pro pineapple on pizza. I know that's the minority opinion, even if it's a 49% minority. And then just largely no blue cheese, no cream cheese, no sour cream, no yogurt, no tofu, no ricotta cheese. Sorry. Other than that, I'm not a picky eater, but I don't need any of that.
That's a lot there, Flo. What do you got?
I love it. And listen, I'm in the same camp with the pineapple, by the way. I would also say mayo over ketchup. And then I would say that for a lot of people, you know, for people who consider like people experts in certain things, I would say that most experts aren't real experts. I think there's very few of them out there. And I think
that's true.
The more you kind of know about something, the more you realize you're not an expert on certain things. So anyways, that's my take. There you go.
I love it.
And I loved your first take, Kenny, in this episode, in this segment. Love that first take. I think a lot of people would agree with you. That would be popular. All right, real quick, we don't have the luxury of time. You got to give me one word answer on these. We won't hold you to it. Three quick, true or false. John, we're going to start with you. Tom Aspinall, the most skilled heavyweight in UFC history. True or false?
Oh,
True or false?
Man, false. I love you, Tommy. You're right there. You may go down as the greatest heavyweight of all time, but false.
Kenny?
I might be leaning towards true, but there's John Jones in there. It's tough. Let me go the other way just to be a little bit different, but that's a tough one. I will say true. How's that?
Lot of skills out of Tommy Aspinall.
He is, man. He really
we won't
does.
Throw any nicknames out there, John. Number two, Kenny, we'll start with you. Israel Adesanya will become the UFC middleweight champion for the third time in 2024. True or false?
Let me go with true. I think there's a strong possibility.
True. Heard. John. You can't ask me that question. You're going off script here. That's way too predictive in nature. That
well, you're going to like this one.
As the play-by-play guy,
you'll like this one. Then.
A prediction on a fight.
He's you'll like this one.
Fucking abstain. What's the next question?
You'll like this one. Team Blue. And this may be one of your opinions that you've had for a long time. Hamzat is the biggest star in the UFC at the moment. Hamzat.
Wow, Chimaev. Dead air because I'm pausing to think about who is the biggest pay-per-view needle mover slash star in the promotion. I'm going to say false, but those who would laugh at my pause don't understand the extent to which Hamzat Chimaev is a massive superstar.
All right, Flo, quickly. Hamzat, biggest star in the UFC at the moment. True or false?
I would put him probably at like three right now. Is Conor still in the UFC? I don't know. If Conor's still in the UFC, then he's not. And then you have Izzy. I don't know if you were measuring social media follows, but I don't know. It's between those two guys.
Well, so in terms of a star, right, if you're going to ask me one guy, Hamzat might be the one guy. If you're going to put him in an arena and I get to watch him fight, he may be very close to the top of the list.
Yeah.
Flo, question two. Go ahead, John.
Ilia Topuria, I think, is a guy that is emerging when you consider all factors. It's crazy to think about. Sugar Sean O'Malley is not in the top two right now, but he's Cannonball Comet, and obviously if he wins this weekend, he's in the conversation. And then Alex Pineda, we spent a lot of time on that, so I don't need to rehash that yet.
Flo, we're going to start here with you. We don't have the luxury of a lot of time here. Your favorite fight
I got to go with Robbie Lawler versus Rory McDonald. It had everything. It had violence. It had drama. It had technique. It was a title fight, so a lot on the line. I like my blood gets going just thinking about that fight.
John Anik, your favorite fight of all time. Tough one.
Dateline Rio de Janeiro, October 25th, 2014. Ginazio do Maracana Gino, UFC 179, Aldo versus Mendez 2, the rematch for the undisputed UFC featherweight championship. I was at a wedding for my man, John Murphy, in the state of Connecticut. And I was watching this on a cellular telephone. Brian Stan on the call. And you may recall at the end of round one, Jose Aldo throws a punch way after the final horn and he knocks down Chad Mendez. But the fight was great. I mean, it was 49-46 Jose Aldo, but it truly was a fight that had it all. Now, I was absolutely lathered. I was fucking hammered. I was at a wedding watching on my phone. So I think that heightened the whole experience. And then honorable mention, June 27, 2020, UFC Apex, Dustin Poirier versus Dan Hooker. Round two, one of the greatest rounds I've called. And I think I said at the end of it, that was one of the greatest rounds of the year, unless you like defense. So those are the two on the tip of the tongue here on a Wednesday morning.
Well done, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Busy day here on the Anik and Florian podcast for you two clowns, huh?
Yeah, it is.
So what do you got going on this week at UFC 299 down in Miami? You're going to be omnipresent.
Oh, UFC extra rounds. We're going to be Thursday at Grails, I think Friday. We're going to be at the Ale House down there in Doral. Saturday, maybe a pre-show in the arena. And then I'll find my cozy seat behind you, John Anik. Back-to-back for you this week, huh? A little Apex.
Can you unleash the beast down there in SoCal? Can we see the hair in SoCal?
Not as much to unleash now. We sort of tamed it a little bit. Yeah, but we took it down a little bit.
I want to see it.
Oh, we got it. We got it.
All right.
You know, we...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we got rid of a little flow. We're going to sort of get it down on the sides a little bit. But, you know, we got rid of the man bun. You know, we're trying to do a little internet television, if you will. But well done. Good stuff coming up today, boys.
A lot to get to, Jay. We'll see you down in Miami. And very exciting that Ken Flo is doing a day of live event appearance. So for those of you who were priced out of UFC 299, like my middle child, Tatum Anik, she probably can't go to that establishment. But one more time, where is Kenny going to be on Saturday, Jay?
Grails, Miami, 7 to 8:30. Meet Kenny. He might be a little lathered up with a couple tequila shots before you get there.
Yep. He'll be drinking Cuervo. And Kenny also really likes germs, no fist bumps. He wants handshakes, no fist bumps, and get super close on the photos and all of that stuff as well.
Flo, you got a nice signature? John says, all right. Speaking of which, johnanik.com, one more sleep.
Yeah, johnanik.com right now, one more sleep merchandise, Anik and Florian podcast merchandise. You get 20% off with promo code 1
more sleep. 2800 North Miami Avenue in Miami this Saturday. You can see Kenny Florian. Jay, see a doctor and get rid of it. We'll see you later.
Thank you, guys.
All right, at Boston Anik, if you want to follow that nutcase on Instagram. Well, the heat will be cranked up in Miami for UFC 299, but the action will be even hotter at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. New customers who deposit $5 or more can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 back in a bonus bet. So what exactly is a no-sweat bet? Well, it's like getting another chance. If you take an L, take one on the chin, you get another shot at victory. You get a bonus bet back in the amount of your original bet if your first bet does not hit. Now, most of these fights on the main card right now, very close on the odds front, right on that DraftKings Sportsbook app. Sean O'Malley, minus 245 or so against Marlon Chito Vera, is actually the biggest betting favorite on the main card right now. You can get me, you can get in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Not now, but right now, use code AFPOD. New customers can get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 if your first bet loses, only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code AFPOD. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. One no sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. All right, very privileged to be joined by our next guest.
Tired of snooty wines and their old wine culture? Confused by words like malolactic fermentation? Yeah, we are too. So with 19 Crimes, you can do the fancy schmancy tilt sip smell routine, or don't. 19 Crimes is the rebel of wine and culture, telling the stories of rogues and rule breakers who overcame adversities. From convicts banished to Australia to the legendary icon Snoop Dogg himself, 19 Crimes wine is defiant by nature, bold in character, and always uncompromising. 19 Crimes, the official wine of UFC. Pick up in stores nationwide or online at 19crimes.com. Enjoy responsibly. 2024, Sonoma, California.
One of the best follows on Instagram for me. On a day-to-day basis, sports betting and casino content creator, also the CEO of Home of Fight Ventures. At Matty Betts with two S's, Matthew Tanner. Matty Betts, good morning, brother. How are we doing?
Great. How are you doing, boss?
All right, so I got a lot to get to with you, and on my list was not to ask you about like your favorite fight in UFC history, but my twin brother was just on asking me and Kenny about that, and I guess it brings up maybe when you first got into mixed martial arts as a fan, so I'm not asking for your favorite fight of all time, but what was your first UFC memory like as a viewer?
So my favorite fight was the Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat fight. I was there live.
That'll do it.
To this day, I still feel like Gilbert almost did enough in that fight. I had a pretty sizable bet. I couldn't believe how big of an underdog he was. And it was an absolute war. I wish I was a five rounder. But to this day, that's still my favorite fight of all time.
Definitely one of the greatest fights that I ever called. And I actually think that you're being fairly objective there, even though Gilbert Burns is one of your business partners. So are you launching his podcast today? Is that still the plan to go live with his new show today?
Yeah. So we're going to do an episode on the Home of Fight YouTube channel, but we haven't fully solidified like his actual podcast name, all of those things. Today, we're just going to chop it up. I think Moicano is coming by as well. We're going to talk about UFC 299. And just have some fun, make some content. But yeah, I think in the next 1 to 2 weeks, we didn't want to rush it. We wanted Gilbert to stay focused on what's important,
yep,
which is getting the win this weekend. But in the upcoming weeks, we're going to be launching a show. We're super excited about it.
Money Moicano is an absolute nutcase. Imagine he's your podcast co-host. Like, is he ever in a bad mood? I mean, Kenny and I are almost 500 shows in, and we try to be pretty consistent with our energy, but I can't imagine Money Moicano ever being in a bad mood. All right, Matty Betts. So a lot of MMA fans and fighters are eating up your content and tailing your bets. So when did you first start betting on sports, handicapping sports, and when did the transition to MMA happen for you?
Yeah, so for me, I've been gambling and betting sports since I was a kid. So very, very young age. My brother and I used to go on cruise ships with my parents. We would get kicked in and out of casinos. I mean, I had a neighborhood bookie when I was 13, 14 years old. So I've been doing it my whole life. Now, betting on UFC, I honestly didn't start betting on UFC till like college, right? And you know, I graduated in 2014. But UFC, when I started betting on it, I was like, there is nothing like it. Like I'm at the point now where like NFL used to always be my favorite sport to bet growing up. I get bored to death with betting on NFL now because UFC is so entertaining and so much fun to bet on. Like the fact that I can hit like a 20-1 bet on just one fight, or you know, like my favorite win of all time was I had the Bear Jew Paul Craig round two knockout, 40-1 odds. My favorite win of all time, you know, because everyone called me an idiot on my video breakdown of it, and I got a little lucky on that fight, I'll be honest. But you know, just finding ways to bet UFC is so interesting to me because you can bet submission artists to win by knockout and vice versa. And there's, you know, you don't need to hit some crazy parlay to win a lot of money in UFC. I mean, you could have, like last year, I hit a 60-1 bet. It was just a two-fight parlay. You know, you can't really do that in the NFL. It's very difficult to do that in NBA, NFL, all these other sports. And I love the fact that there's less variables. Like, you don't have to worry about a center throwing the ball over the quarterback's head and then there's a safety or, you know, a pick six. Like, it's one guy versus another guy. And that's what I love about betting the UFC. I like to look at the two fighters, how they match up against each other. I like to look at the perception. Where does the public think, you know, who does the public think should be the favorite versus what the odds makers have it at? And then what I've learned from betting the UFC is you can't always bet on what you think is going to happen. You have to bet on like where the value actually is. And that's how I saw the Gilbert Burns versus Khamzat fight. He was just such a massive underdog, and I thought the odds were disrespectful. And sometimes it works out well and sometimes it doesn't. But over time, if you bet where you see value, I think that's how you can, you know, find an edge betting on fights in general.
And Maddie, I could definitely see the excitement aspect of it, but it from a difficulty standpoint, is it more difficult than other sports in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it just depends on who's betting it, who the handicapper is. For me, I have crazy ups and downs at UFC. So my betting style is I bet a lot of long shots. I bet a lot of props. I bet a lot of specific outcomes. Like when I put out my cards on Instagram, on Twitter, on all my different channels, like I might have like two money line bets the whole card. Like I'm not betting a ton of money lines. But for me, I think it just depends what you're good at, what you like. I mean, I had a terrible NFL season last year, but then 2 years ago, I had a great NFL season. So a lot of up and down with all the different sports. But I think UFC is easier for me. I mean, I think there are times where it's like, oh, it feels so challenging and crazy shit happens in the UFC. I mean, like just a couple of months ago, I had Jacob Malkoon inside the distance and I had round two at a big number and then he gets DQ'd. Like crazy stuff happens when you're betting the sport. But to me, I love betting UFC. I think it's easier than other sports because team sports, so many variables happen and so many things that you can't account for. But in the UFC, it's like it's fighter A versus fighter B. So I think from that standpoint, it is simpler.
And Maddie, do you train? You got that wrestler neck and shoulders, my man. Like, are you just throwing weights around? What's the deal?
Yeah, no, these days I'm just doing some weightlifting. Okay. I do box at Boca Boxing with Dia Davis. I live about 10 minutes from them. I love that spot. I don't go as much as I should. I need to go a little bit more often. But I did wrestle growing up. I wrestled for a few years. And then I actually played college soccer for 2 years. And after my sophomore year of college, I was like, I'm done. I'm not doing anything with this. And then I really started focusing on business. And my background's actually in restaurants and franchising, which is what I've done my whole life. But I've been fortunate enough the last 3 or 4 years to go kind of full-time on the content space and just sports betting and gambling. And UFC's been a big part of that.
Maddie Betts with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. Yeah, the reason he's not lifting weights 2 hours a day is because he is a fine, fine businessman and he's got a lot of different irons in the fire right now. More on that later, but real quick, 14 fights at UFC 299. And by the way, Ken Flo placing his bets later in the program. Now, perhaps your process is different when you are actually attending. You're going to be in the building at Kaseya Center this Saturday night, correct?
Yep.
So does that affect your betting process because you're going to be in the building or not necessarily?
I always say if you're in person, there's a rule. You have to bet on every single fight.
All right.
Yes.
Right.
you can't skip fights.
So, but let's go back then to UFC 298 in Anaheim. How much of your action is down before fight day or before Saturday night? And how much are you doing live betting fight to fight?
Yeah. So I think general rule of thumb, if you're betting favorites, especially in the UFC, if you can lock those favorites in weeks before, you're 9 times out of 10 going to get a way better number. The steam comes in late on these favorites, and like, and that's why I bet so many exact outcome props and round props and different things. Cause if I'm putting out a betting card the day before or the day of fights, like chances are all the value is gone on the majority of favorites. Now, with that said, there are some trendy underdogs where the complete opposite is true. But I recommend, like, if you're going to bet, you know, if you're going to bet John Jones before his fight, if you bet it the day before the fight, you're going to get a terrible number. You have to bet that weeks in advance. But that's, again, that's why I love betting so many specific outcomes. If you're going to take a big favorite, you can go inside the distance or by knockout or by submission, which is what I tend to do. This weekend, though, is one of those cards where it's like there are so many toss-up matchups.
Right.
I mean, there are so many 50-50 fights on that card. The last 5 fights of the night, to me, are all coin tosses. I mean, you know, I think Sean O'Malley is the biggest favorite on that main card, I would say. And even that fight, I think, is a toss-up just when you look at it stylistically. So it's a really exciting card. I went to the last Miami card and I was like, it's going to be so long until another card's in Miami and nothing's going to top this. And I think this card is better than that one. And I think it's better than UFC 300, honestly.
Yeah. And real quickly, for those of you who maybe aren't locked into the gambling language all the time, when he talks about betting propositions and fight outcomes, right, and a 60-1 payout, if he throws Paul Craig by TKO in with, say, Khalil Roundtree Jr. by submission, right, just betting on two guys with method of victory, you know, $10 might pay you $600, right? I mean, it's a crazy, crazy thing, but it's actually not that crazy. And I love the way you have sort of simplified your gambling process and talked about value today. Before I get to home of fight, anything at UFC 299 that piques your interest right now or any bets that you have down, any pick you want to give to our audience? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, from a sheer value standpoint, Dustin Poirier, and again, I'm out of Boca Raton. I train with Dia Davis. So I don't want to seem biased here, but that man's like, please, like plus 180 now, plus 170. Benoit St. Denis is really good. Crazy power, good wrestling, good everywhere. But the Diamond has not lost 2 fights in a row, I don't think ever, you know, and you're going to get him at like a plus 170, plus 180 dog. I mean, at this rate, he might be 2-1 by Saturday.
Right.
Who knows? So it's definitely something I'm looking at. Maybe even look at him to play him in the late rounds, you know, round 3, 4, 5. Obviously, he has the championship and the 5-round experience, whereas Benoit just doesn't, right? So maybe that's a way you look to play him round 3, 4, 5. I think he does have to avoid, he has to be careful in those early rounds, especially coming off of the knockout loss to Justin Gaethje. But I think that's a spot to look at. Gilbert Burns, again, another play that you could say is biased, but he's a betting underdog. The Peter Yan, Sonia Dawn fight is a toss up there. A lot of these fights that I think, a lot of times you just have to look at a fight and say, that's a 50-50 fight. Give me the plus money on it.
Right.
And I think if you do that on this card, you know, you bet there's probably 6 fights that are coin tosses. I think if you go 3-3 and take the plus money in all 6 fights, you're going to generate a profit. It's not sexy. It's not fun to do.
Yeah.
If you're just trying to make a profit, I think there's a lot of fights that you can just take the underdog and close your eyes on. Even that Curtis Blaydes, Jailton Almeida fight, if you go back and look at the betting odds of that fight, before Almeida fought Derek Lewis, Almeida was a sizable favorite there.
I think
he was like minus 160, maybe a little bit more. And now it's like a coin toss.
Yep.
You know, maybe that's a spot where you know, go, you now buy low on Jailton Almeida, where it's like, okay, he didn't finish Derek Lewis. So now everyone's kind of lower on him. Is this guy the real deal or not? But now you go to him and say, I think he can get the takedowns. Curtis Blaydes, although he's a good wrestler, he doesn't have the greatest takedown defense. I think Almeida could get the takedowns and maybe win a decision here. And that's a fight where you can get him at like even money, I think, right now. So it's something to look at.
Yeah. Good stuff there, Matty Betts. All right, before we let you go, Home of Fight, tell us about your relatively new initiative and endeavor here and where people can find Home of Fight.
Yeah, so Home of Fight, our biggest channel is just on Instagram, at Home of Fight. Definitely keep an eye on our YouTube. That's where we're starting all of our different podcasts and shows and that we're really excited about, but that's just Home of Fight on YouTube. and we're going to be launching a lot of different things. We're going to have a lot of shows with different UFC fighters and just combat sports in general, and a lot of betting picks. We have the Die Hard podcast with Clint. He's coming on board as of this Monday. We have Hey Jive Picks show and Nolan that launched a couple weeks ago, and then my show, and then Gilbert and Moicano hopefully in the upcoming week. So very, very excited for it.
Good stuff, man. At Home of Fight. And of course, at Matty Betts with one T and a couple of S's. My man, I will see you in the building this weekend for UFC 299. We appreciate your time, and we'll talk soon, brother.
Appreciate you guys.
All right. There he is, Matty Betts, with us here on the Anakin Florian podcast. And I really do like his approach as far as attacking the MMA board. And when you do look at this UFC 299 main card, and we're going to get to all of Ken Flo's preview and picks here shortly. A lot of coin flips, man, right? Like, the long-term sports bettor in me looks at like Piotr Jan versus Song Yadong, and it's just the easiest layoff in the world. Now, contractually, I can't even bet on these things, but thankfully for UFC 299, I don't have the luxury of doing so. All right, well, if you're looking to level up your nicotine routine, Lucy is your answer. 100% pure nicotine, always tobacco-free, and not only can you choose your format, pouches, breakers, gum, right? You can also choose your strength. From as little as 2 milligrams to as high as 12, if maybe you've been underwhelmed by the effects of other nicotine pouches. You can also choose your flavor, mint, apple, ice, espresso, or mango, several others as well. One customer review says, best nicotine pouches I have found. Feel and taste great. Couldn't be happier with my monthly subscription. Another user acknowledges receiving all day focus. I could use that from this clean nicotine alternative. And don't forget to check out those Lucy Breakers nicotine pouches with a tiny capsule inside, the product that really sets Lucy apart. So let us level up your nicotine routine with Lucy. Go to lucy.co/AFPod and use promo code AFPod to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That is lucy.co and use code AFPod to get 20% off and, as always, free shipping. And here comes the fine print. Lucy products are only for adults of legal age and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. All right. UFC 299 beckons coming up this weekend. You know what it is. Big Gun Brian Petrie going to join us as we go three wide, all hands on deck, and we begin with our pronunciation of the week. BP, looking good. Where are you right now? Looks a little different with the backdrop.
See, I'm off work, and I can't sit still for a goddamn minute. So I had to rearrange some things. I want to say, you want a hat? Because my boys are wearing hats. So, yo, 299. Barely last night. I got some plays, Kenny. Hopefully you're ready, brother. Hopefully you're ready.
Let's go.
All right. Before we get to the main event challenge, it is the pronunciation of the week. We have two names for Petrie to take a crack at, and they are both Polish fighters. I have long said the Polish names give me fits. Joanna Janczyk is suggestive that Americans and English speakers can't even make these sounds properly. So let's get to this first guy, Bri. Yeah. He is the middleweight who is facing Michel Pereira this weekend. Last name is spelled O-L-E-K-S-I-E-J-C-Z-U-K. Who are we talking about, Bri?
So without the John Anik training, I would butcher this. And I might still butcher it, but I'm going to go Mikhail Olashishek.
All right. It sounds like Shake Shack, the fucking burger joint. Not that bad.
Joanna's right.
Cody, can you give us that name, sir?
Michał Lord Oleksiejczuk. Michał Lord Oleksiejczuk.
Yo, Brian, just like it's spelled, bro. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah, right. I mean,
Not bad. Circle doesn't get a square, but not bad. Oleksiejczuk. Second fighter's nickname is Gamer. Trains under the great Mike Brown, the mainer there, and the rest of the American top team crew. And this weekend, he faces Rafael Deutsch. John Deutsch. At UFC 299, Bri, who are we talking about, kid?
So this is a tough one for me. For whatever reason, Mantus Gamrot. The first name's tough.
So these first names like Mataus or Mateus, right? They go different ways. The jiu-jitsu practitioner is Mateus Deniz, right? Yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
But this guy's Mataus, but I think he got the last name right. Let's go to the actual fighter to make it official.
My name is Mateusz Gamrot. My nickname is Gamer.
One more time.
My name is Mateusz Gamrot. My nickname is Gamer.
All right, down two strikes. Down two.
So you got Gamrot correct. And of course, he does pronounce his nickname Gamer instead of Gamer. I saw Ken Flo's eyebrows perk up there a little bit. But Mateusz Gamrot has a big fight coming up this weekend. UFC 299 is upon us. Today's main event challenge is presented by DraftKings. Stay tuned because you'll hear more about DraftKings and all it has to offer throughout the show. DraftKings, the crown is yours. All right, here we go. John Anna, Kenflo, Brian Petrie, ready to go. And we are going to begin at the top of the card. The main event for the undisputed UFC bantamweight title. Sean O'Malley has swelled to a minus 285 betting favorite. Marlon Chito Vera plus 230. Little background for you guys, 23rd UFC appearance for Chito Vera, and at long last, finally is set to compete for UFC gold. He is the most prolific finisher in the history of this division, and one of those 11 finishes did come against Sean O'Malley. It was the first meeting between these two at the Apex, and it was UFC 252 non-championship setting, August of 2020. Now, Bri, championship stakes and the rematch as O'Malley makes his first defense of the bantamweight title. Who do you have in the main event, sir?
A lot of rematches happening lately, and I'm not complaining. This is the one we need. Sugar, to me, listen, I'm a Sugar guy. I know I picked Aljo against him. Phenomenal performance by Sugar, but I'm part of the Sugar show. I was going to wear a shirt today. The wife's wearing it. She loves it with all the multicolors. What are you going to do? The guy's talented, right? He has power. His footwork's phenomenal. His speed's great. You look at the Paiva fight, one punch knockout, deaded him. You look at the first Chito fight, though, and he didn't get off. He only landed 10 strikes in round one. I know he got clipped in the leg, the nerve thing, and that kind of derailed everything, but it almost looked like a really slow start and a guy that was confused because Cheeto's a brick house in there. Chito doesn't move. He's never been put out, never been finished in the UFC or in MMA. And he's walking forward. And Sean, I thought, got thrown up a little pause there. But skill for skill, I think Sean is phenomenal. He's got to be the Sean that fought Peter Yan, who went and said, I got to win this third round. He's got to be the Sean that goes, I need to land 230 strikes like I did against Chris Motino because I'm not putting this guy out. But I got to have that kind of cardio because I'm going five rounds here. Chito only gets better as the fight goes on. His last six fights, he's only outstruck one person. And that was his last fight. That was his own. He's always down on the cards, but he finds a way, either KRU or in the Rob Font fight, landing the harder strikes. I don't see that being a path for victory for Chito. I think Cheeto's going to have to really establish something early. He's going to have to hit him early, look for leg kicks, look for maybe even a little wrestling as well, because we've seen some wrestling, some success from Peter Yan over Sean in the wrestling. But I like Sean just styling on him. I love the number at minus 285. I would play this north of 300. I know people, you know, it's a rematch and they think Chito has his number. Chito is filthy in there, but I think Sean has all the skills to pay the bills, baby. And I think Sean O'Malley takes this here. I think he's not going to get a finish. So I like Sean O'Malley by decision.
All right, all these odds courtesy of DraftKings Sportsbook. So Kenny, O'Malley did want this rematch and pined for it, despite that Chito did have that loss to Corey Sandhagen last March. So Chito is 1-1 spanning his last two. Your thoughts ultimately on the fight, Kenny, and Chito Vera's ability to spring the upset here against O'Malley?
Well, I think O'Malley has a lot of confidence on the feet, right? And I think that he believes that Chito really isn't going to be too much of a threat with his takedown game, which allows him to be more free-flowing with his striking. Now, the way that I see it as far as advantages, for O'Malley, he's got the length, he's got the footwork, and that is a major one. It's a subtle one, but it's a major one. And then you have the power and you have the accuracy. For Marlon's advantages, he has durability, he has longevity. He's a strong finisher, not only because he actually finishes fights, right? He's got 8 knockouts, 10 submissions, but the way that he finishes a fight, rounds 4 and 5, that's when he comes on strong. Why? Because it takes him a little while to get in his groove, get in his rhythm. And I think a lot of his lack of volume is not due to the fact that he's not in condition, right? He is always very well conditioned. I think a lot of it has to do with his footwork. That's what puts you in a position to allow you to strike. Now, against someone like O'Malley, I think that's going to hurt him. Chito's an absolute beast. You know, you look at his wins, his last few wins, Munoz, Cruz, Font, Edgar, Davy Grant. These are very, very tough fighters. Having a couple finishes over guys like Frankie Edgar, Dominic Cruz, that is impressive as hell. He did have that loss against Corey Sandhagen. What lost him that fight? Again, footwork, length. That's really was real, where it was really tough for him to get into range. And I think he'll unfortunately run to that same hurdle here against O'Malley. I'm not sure O'Malley's going to be able to finish him. If O'Malley's able to finish someone like Cheeto, I think that would be a major, major statement. I have immense respect for Cheeto Vera and how far he has come as a mixed martial artist. We called some of his early fights, John, and to see that level of improvement is insane. He's a true martial artist, but he also really is a fighter at heart. I think it's going to be very entertaining. It's a fascinating fight, but I think O'Malley just has a little bit too many advantages heading into this one. So I like O'Malley here as well.
All right, co-main event scheduled for 5 rounds in the lightweight division. Benoit Saint-Denis right now on DraftKings Sportsbook, -218. Dustin Poirier, +180. And what a rise it has been for the former French special force operative, Benoit Saint-Denis. He lost that short notice UFC debut up at welterweight. It was UFC 267 in 2021. He ends up on the wrong side of one of the worst beatings in UFC history. Still survives, of course, those 15 minutes with Eliseo Zaleski dos Santos. And since Kenny, we're going to leave with you here. He's reeled off 5 straight wins at lightweight, all of them knockouts or submission. And now the money's pouring in on BSD, -218, the favorite this weekend in the 5-round co-main event against Dustin Poirier. Ken Fo lead the charge. Who leaves Miami as the winner of the co-main event?
I think this is a really fascinating fight. And I got to say, I was pleasantly surprised, John, when I got your email this morning and you updated us with these odds, because I don't know. It kind of reminds me of the Will Ferrell quote of like, am I taking crazy pills here? Because I don't see this huge disparity with the line here. Not that I'm this big gambler or anything like that, but to me, it's not making sense. Yes, Benoit Saint-Denis is an absolute savage. And yes, he has a very interesting style to go against someone like Dustin Poirier. But if we're comparing resumes of who Benoit has fought, we're looking at Frivola, Thiago Moises, Ismael Bonfim, Gabriel Miranda, Nicholas Stoltz. These are very tough guys, and he certainly has a lot of momentum heading into this fight. But when I'm comparing resumes and wins, Chandler, Connor twice, Daniel Hooker, Max Holloway, Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje again. You know, he's fought Khabib, Gaethje twice, Oliveira. I mean, like, it's just a whole different ball of wax when we're comparing resumes. Now, what are we looking at? Are we looking at trajectories? Who's going up? Who's going down? Okay, then it starts to make a little bit more sense. I think Benoit's takedown ability is going to be a factor here, and it all comes down to Dustin Poirier's takedown ability. Because for me, with BSD, his striking needs work. He's tough as hell. He's got a chin from hell, but he does get hit a lot. And again, someone like Dustin Poirier, who can crack, who's got, you know, welterweight style knockout power, I think he's got to be really careful there. I think Dustin's just the cleaner striker. Dustin isn't a perfect striker himself, but I think he's significantly more dangerous on the feet. I like Dustin here. I don't see it. I think there's a lot of value here. I see this line changing a lot, not necessarily because of what I'm saying, but I think people just need to come to their senses of who's the more experienced fighter, who's faced higher level of competition, and skill versus skill. So I don't know. Fascinating fight. Can't wait to see. My hands are sweating. Brian,
let's go.
Well, hang on a second before BP gets in here. I just want to point out, and maybe some of that Poirier money will show later in the week, but this betting line has moved 42% since the open, which had Poirier roughly -175 or so. And Bri, you know, yeah, Poirier was not excited about a fight with Beneil Dariush a couple years ago, in part because he didn't think the fans would be excited. And largely, I think he was right. He took this fight, maybe knowing he might end up the betting underdog at close, or maybe not, but because he saw that Benoit Saint-Denis was all the rage, and as a fan favorite that he always is, he felt like there would be fan enthusiasm for this fight. So 30th UFC appearance for Dustin Poirier. How do you think he fares as the dog this weekend against Benoit? Seek and destroy Saint-Denis.
I mean, MMA gambling is such a what have you done for me lately. Benoit Saint-Denis, the new killer. Poirier has flirted with retirement. Only take fights that are interesting to me. He's coming off a knockout. This line is crazy, getting DP at this money. And not only that, getting DP with the skin fade, the old school DP coming mean. This guy's mindset has changed tenfold since the beginning of his career. He is locked and loaded in there. He is the best, and I say the best counterpuncher in the pocket in MMA. You get in the pocket, you get him in space, he's catching you every time. Ask Conor McGregor, ask Dan Hooker, he's phenomenal. His chin was questionable, and now he fights through it. He'll get buzz, he'll work his way out. Kenny hit all the nails on the head. Great points from Kenny. I think BSD is going to look for the takedown. He likes to grapple. He's a big, strong guy. He likes to grapple, likes to throw volume. I think he's going to come out there. I mean, he threw like, what, 57 kicks against Bon Freeman in their fight. He's going to come out aggressive. He's going to jump on Poirier. Poirier's experience is going to let him withstand that storm and battle back, just like he did against a really dangerous Michael Chandler, just like he did against a Conor McGregor in their second fight. Conor came out hot with the boxing. It took a minute, then he landed his shots. You look at Benoit Saint-Denis against Thiago Moises, great fight, super aggressive, landed incredible strikes, but he slowed down a little bit and he got caught a lot. Thiago Moises is a great fighter, but he ain't the diamond in that pocket, baby. Dustin Poirier can crack with both hands. He's a tricky southpaw. I think this number is egregious, and I love it. It will move a lot. This will probably be, well, maybe the main event, but I would say this will be the most bet fight of the night, in my opinion, because the line is so wacky. And we still don't really know how great Benoit Saint-Denis is. He took out our boy Matty Frivola, but he got taken down twice, battled back up, landed a kick on the break, was phenomenal. And he's looked so good, but he doesn't have the resume or the skulls that Dustin Poirier has. And we're going to find out, baby. And we're going to find out in Miami, and I can't wait. I'm all in on Poirier, though. I love this number. I love the fight for him. And I love that he took the hair down and said, let's go. I'll fight anybody. That's the best.
All right, the guys are aligned through two fights. We move on down the UFC 299 pay-per-view main card to a featured bout at welterweight. Kevin Holland, -135. Michael Venom Page, +114. MVP never won the Bellator title outright, but he did go 16-2 under that banner. And now at 36 years of age, makes his much-hyped UFC debut against the promotional workhorse, Kevin Holland. Holland's already fought 20 times in a UFC career that dates to 2018, coming off a split loss to Jack Della Maddalena at Noche UFC last September. Loudest ovations all week with respect to all the Mexican fighters were for Kevin Holland. Wildly popular. Certainly going to be a lot of support for both of these athletes in Miami. BP, will go back to you on this one. How do you feel about this feature battle welterweight? You going Holland or Michael Venom Page?
What a signing, the UFC signing at MVP. He's so exciting. Here's a guy who's wiry, right? Skinny and wiry. He crushed a guy's skull in with a knee. Oh, in his last fight, he busted a dude's kneecap with a kick. Even though he's skinny and not bricked up, he's got tough bones. And he went and is the only guy to never quit against Mike Perry in bare knuckle boxing in a very close fight. This dude is legit. He's awkward. He's interesting. He's explosive. Yes, he's 36. His takedown defense isn't should be slept on. I've been getting DMs. I've been getting hit up like, hey, Kevin Holland by submission, lock it up. Sure, Michael Venom Page has never been submitted, but I don't think Kevin Holland's going to take him down. I think Kevin Holland may have a path there. It's a lot easier said than done. He's not like an all-star wrestler. I think they're going to stand up a bang. I think this is what it's going to be. Kevin Holland's 6'3", rangy. But we've seen it before, boys. The UFC is the show, right? And Kevin Holland's been in the show for a long time. MVP has fought some good people. There are some weak spots in his record. We're going to see where he belongs here. This is perfect matchmaking. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to play on the feet. However, I'm going to take the guy that's been in the show a little bit longer than Kevin Holland here. I don't know how he gets it done. I don't have a feel for that yet. But give me Kevin Holland money line. I like that.
Kenny, Umar Nurmagomedov in our fighter meeting last week sort of deadpanned, it's MMA, I'm going to fight him where I'm better. And I think we all can agree Kevin Holland would be wise to mix it up. But what are your thoughts on how this one plays out here at 170 pounds?
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, you'd think Kevin Holland would try to do that more against someone like Wonderboy. And I think you have a style in Michael Venom Page that is very similar, right? So, I think both of them have very similar builds. Kevin Holland, I think, has the ability to take down MVP, but he's not necessarily a guy that I would say, hey, he's an unbelievable takedown guy. And sometimes I think he gets a little stubborn, and sometimes he will kind of concede to entertain the crowd more than going, I'm going to take the easiest path to victory. That is a concern for me. So I don't know, especially when you get a guy who is very cocky and flashy like Michael Venom Page. These guys are very similar in how they approach the game. They'll both talk trash during a fight. How does that charge up the emotional connection to the fight for both of these guys, for that matter? So I think this is another tremendous fight. what makes Michael Venom Page, I think, so dangerous is the fact that he can close distance extremely fast. Those blitzes are just nasty. He'll create these kind of car crash type scenarios, whether he's attacking and initiating the blitz or if you're coming forward. That is the worst possible thing to do. You know, if he's able to get Kevin to be impatient, seeking out a clinch or seeking out a strike, that's where Michael Venom Page will strike you exactly like a snake. I mean, it's just unbelievable, his ability to create those car crash-like exchanges, and he always comes out on top. And you'll slow the video down. I'm looking at this, and I'm going, did he really hit him clean? He doesn't hit you clean, but you're still dropping like a fly. It's unbelievable. So I'm fascinated from that aspect. His timing, his length, his speed, his ability to dominate the distance and dictate the range of the fight is something that is very uncanny. So I'm really curious to see how it goes down. I think Kevin Holland can win this fight. Will he win this fight? I'm not so sure. It's very close on the odds. I like the fact that you can get Michael Venom Page at plus 114. When it's this close, I'm going to concede to the underdog, but I also just think it's a very difficult stylistic matchup for Kevin Holland. Holland has to take this fight to the ground. He's got to put MVP on his back. That's where he wins this. I don't think it's the best path to victory to trade with someone like MVP.
Michael Venom Page plus 114 on DraftKings Sportsbook right now, where 70% of the handle has come in on that fight on MVP. All right, continuing with the main event challenge here on the Anik and Florian podcast as we transition to another welterweight fight, the aforementioned Jack Della Maddalena, who fought Kevin Holland last September, is the minus 148 betting favorite here, Canflo, against Gilbert Durinho Burns, who is plus 124. Some money has come in on JDM over the last 48 hours or so. He's 6-0 in the UFC. He's the younger fighter, went 3-0 in 2023. Last two wins, though, were both by split decision. Canflo, we'll lead with you here, my man. Your thoughts on Della Maddalena against the former world title challenger, Gilbert Durinho Burns.
It's really impressive anytime you get a guy who has a 16-fight win streak going for him. And that is very unusual. And Jack Della Maddalena has that. He also has 11 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's a finisher through and through. He's got some decent experience at this standpoint. When I'm looking at the resume, again, right, experience matters in this sport, especially at the highest levels. He does not have the same level of competition as a Gilbert Burns. Getting a win over Kevin Holland is awesome. Getting a win over Randy Brown is impressive as well. Some of the other guys, though, I think the Hafez fight, I don't know if I'm saying that right, was one of those eye-openers for me where his stock dropped a little bit in my mind. And if he's giving up easy takedowns like that against someone like Gilbert Burns, who is an absolute assassin on the ground, that's where Gilbert Burns can really take over the fight and finish the fight, not only with his submission game, of course, but also with his TKO ability. Landing that ground and pound for mount or for side control, those are the things that you got to watch out for Gilbert Burns. Now, for Gilbert, sometimes he gets stuck in either being just a striker or just a grappler. He has to unify that a little bit better, set up his takedowns, and if he's able to do that, I think he wins this fight either by decision or by finish. Now, Jack Della Maddalena can win this fight as well. I think he's that good of a striker. His head movement, his ability to counter you, his ability to get you to slip your strikes, I think is extremely impressive. It's very unusual seeing it at that level in mixed martial arts. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if JDM wins this fight on the feet especially. But I think it's going to be difficult. I'm going to concede to the guy with more experience here. And I think Gilbert Burns at plus 124 is an attractive choice here. So give me Burns.
Della Maddalena, 27 years of age. He won't be 28 until September. Gilbert Burns is 37. He'll be 38 this July and hasn't fought since that 5-round decision loss to Bilal Muhammad. That was UFC 288 all the way back on May 6th of 2023. And Bri Burns now 3 years removed from challenging Kamaru Usman for the title. That was 2021. He's 3-2 in the 5 fights since. Your thoughts on Gilbert Burns against Jack Della Maddalena, my man?
So ignore my last two previous breakdowns where I said experience matters, because those guys aren't fighting three named Jack, right? This dude is, I've been on him since day one. I think his boxing is phenomenal. A lot of people were down on him after the Basil fight because he really did some dumb things on the ground. He jumped in when he shouldn't have. What are you doing? You could have finished it. The guy was gassed on his feet. And then the Kevin Holland split decision. A lot of people thought Kevin Holland won that fight his last time out. I thought three named Jack won that. You look at Gilbert Burns, right? We always talk about age. Alexander Volkanovski's getting his age thrown in his face every... The guy's going to be 38 soon, coming off shoulder surgery, right? Spent a lot of his career at 55. He's now at 70, which I think fills out his frame well. And he has a path to victory here. When he fights strikers like a Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, like a Jorge Masvidal, he goes for takedowns. He lands takedowns. He smothers you. He decisions you. That's the Gilbert Burns way. He has phenomenal striking, good boxing, and he has speed. He's going to have the speed over Jack. But Jack is going to open up Gilbert, and Gilbert's defensive issues, I think, are going to play part here on the feet. I think Gilbert has been knocked out twice in the UFC. He's been put down a few other times. And I think Jack's got to do that with his body work, with his head movement inside the pocket. I'm worried about the takedowns, of course, like everyone is, but I'm not wavering. I've been on three named Jack since day one. I'm not going to waver. I'm going to put a hefty wager on my own personal money on my guy, Jackie D here. So I'm all over Jack Della Maddalena here, baby. 148. Hopefully it comes down. Hopefully money comes on Burns. We get him a little bit sweeter, but give me three named Jack for sure.
All right, pay-per-view main card opener, Piotr Jan minus 118, Song Yadong minus 102. Jan, the former UFC bantamweight champ. He was minus 142 when I sent you guys the odds last Friday. Now he's minus 118. Speaks to some action coming in on Song Yadong. Jan, of course, the former UFC undisputed bantamweight champion at 1.7-0 in the UFC. Now he's 8-4 in the UFC, having lost three in a row to Aljamain Sterling, Sean O'Malley, and Merab Dwalishwili. He's had a full year off, Bri, dating to that loss against Merab. And then on the other side, Song Yadong has looked fantastic, right? Main event wins over Ricky Simon and Chris Gutierrez. So perhaps that speaks to some of the line movement. Brian Petrie, will lead with you. Your thoughts on the bantamweights here. Piotr Jan, the slight favorite, or Song Yadong, the slight dog?
One of my weaknesses as a capper is I don't jump on lines early enough because this is, I've only had a full year of actually live betting in my state. When you sent me that email and I saw Song Yadong at plus money, I went and bet it. Put some action on it. I love Song Yadong in this fight. You ever take like a test in school, a Scantron, and you're just, and all of a sudden you look up and the last five questions were C's and you're like, this is a C too, but there's no way it's a C. It's got to be a B, right?
All right?
So you trick yourself thinking it's a B. That's how you feel. There's no way this guy's going to lose four fights. He's too good. He's lost three in a row right now. There's no way he's going to lose a fourth. I love the year off. He's fighting elite competition. He's a very elite guy himself. Slow starter, though, and Song Yadong has reached peak confidence. I picked Ricky Simon in that fight. Ricky Simon couldn't even touch him on the ground. Couldn't even get him there. Couldn't even sniff him there. And Song Yadong pieced him up. Confidence, power, cardio, all plays a factor. This is a three-round fight where Piotr Jan shows up a little slow in round one. He gets his reads. I think that's going to be detrimental here. I like Song Yadong, probably by decision. I'm heavy on him. I got him my plus number. Hopefully he drops a little bit more here, but I'm big on Song Yadong in this fight.
Ken Flo, your mic is hot. Piotr Jan minus 118, Song Yadong minus 102.
Gosh, another fascinating fight here. You mentioned Jan's record. You look at his record the last six fights, he's 2-4. But then you look at who he lost to. He lost to Merab. He lost to O'Malley. He lost to Sterling twice. But then you look at his wins, Sanhagen and Aldo. I mean, it's ridiculous, his schedule. So I don't think he's someone you should sleep on at this stage of the game. However, Song Yadong is an absolute beast. He's fighting better than ever, in my opinion. However, he doesn't have the same type of schedule that Piotr Jan has. I don't think many people do. And I'm really curious to see with this long layoff how Piotr Jan looks in this fight. I think that, you know, for him, he's got to mix it up. Song, I think, is probably going to be the faster guy out there. And Piotr Jan has to get off to a good start. I think Brian nailed it there. He's got to be really careful and very defensively sound to start this fight. Got to be smart. Has to be the guy who's leading the dance and backing up the other fighter until he gets into his rhythm. And once he is able to get into his rhythm, that's where I think Piotr Jan is able to kind of win rounds and win the fight. I don't see a finish here, but for me, I'm actually leaning towards Piotr Fyodor Yan here. I think the mix of his grappling and clinching ability is going to be a handful for Song Yadong. I also think Song Yadong isn't as good or isn't as dangerous if you're backing him up. And that's where we need that Fyodor Yan, who is that predator, the guy who is going to go out there and seek you out. And the fact that Song Yadong is on a nice win streak is great, but and Ricky Simon and Chris Gutierrez, they're very tough guys, but they're not the Merab Dwalishvilis. They're not the Sean O'Malley's. They're not the Aljamain Sterling's or Sanhagen's or Jose Aldo's for that matter. So let's see what happens. Fascinating fight. If Song Yadong is able to win this one, I think it would put not only Fyodor Yan in a very tough spot, but it would set up Song Yadong for a potential future title fight in 2024, I think.
All right, great job on the main card handicap. That is it for the official main card main event challenge for UFC 299. If you want prelim selections from the fellas, only way to access those are on the full-length episode of the Anik and Florian podcast. All right, three prelims I would like to break down if we could, gentlemen. At heavyweight, Curtis Razor Blades, minus 115. Jailton Almeida, minus 105. This fight, of course, initially was scheduled as a five-round main event last November. Blades, though, was forced to pull out. Derek Lewis stepped in. Almeida didn't finish him. He beat him by unanimous decision. And now this one shall be done as Malagino looks to improve to 7-0 in the UFC. Brian, I thought Matty Betts had some interesting points about this particular fight and how the price on Jailton Almeida for bettors on that side is much sweeter than it would have been if these guys were in a main event last November. You see value on Almeida, value on Blades. Which way are you going?
I love this fight. I love the matchup for both guys. Excuse the voice crack there. I guess I'm 37, so going through puberty. Jailton Almeida, though, is one of my guys. Like, this is a guy I keep a high regard of. I think we're going to have to see some striking here. I don't think he can take Curtis Blades down. I just don't think he can. And Curtis Blades, I'll be interested if he wants to take Jailton down, because Jailton's very good on the ground. Haven't seen much off his back, but sweeps and whatnot, you can get put in a precarious situation. Jailton Almeida, jail time, jail, my jail man. Listen, he did not look great against Derek Lewis. There's some much needed finish ability that needed to happen in that fight, but you know, it's a win. It's a learning experience. You move on. Now you're getting a tougher guy in Curtis Blades, who has shown really great striking. He's very fast on the feet. He has only struggled with guys who just can put your lights out one punch. I haven't seen that in Jailton yet. So this is going to be interesting. We actually have Curtis Blades. You look at his record. He hasn't fought too many like pure grapplers. Yeah, you got Alexei Oleinik in there, but Alexei was like, what, 76 when they fought? So I don't know if that really counts. This guy's in his prime right now. I'm going to go Jailton Almeida because I haven't faded him since. He's been a cash cow for me, and I'm really curious to see how he goes against a guy like Curtis Blades who – you know, maybe we'll never hold the title at 100 or 200 or 265 pounds, which is crazy because how good he is. So this is going to be a huge test for me.
Well, given all Blades has accomplished, it's kind of crazy. He hasn't found himself in a championship setting yet. Kenny Almeida could find himself in a fight for the interim championship against Tom Aspinall as the headliner for UFC 301 in Rio, May 4th, less than 2 months from today, right? That would be an expeditious rise, but there's no main event, at least right now, for UFC 301. What are your thoughts on Almeida here? Slight dog this weekend against Curtis Razor Blades.
Yeah, and I think Jailton would have his most impressive victory to date if he's able to beat someone like Curtis Blades, in my opinion. Now, you know, to give you a little history on Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in Brazil, you have Rio, which is probably one of the strongest areas where they produce the best jiu-jitsu guys. You have Sao Paulo, again, another hot spot. You have even the Amazons. You have there's other areas, but Bahia, Salvador, where Jailton is from, isn't necessarily this hot spot to produce great Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. It doesn't mean Jailton isn't good. He's good. He's just not great. He doesn't come from a city. You know, I'm trying to think of the equivalent. It'd be like, you know, Iowa, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, they're producing some of the best wrestlers in the country. Yeah. Massachusetts is not producing, the best wrestlers. Okay, so to give you that equivalent. And I think we saw that lack of finishing ability or precise finishing ability in that fight against Derek Lewis, which was shocking because that was a fight where he had a ton of riding time on top of Derek Lewis, not known for his grappling game. And I think it's a credit to Derek Lewis for improving that aspect and being conservative with how he like extended his limbs and things. But if you can't finish someone like Derek Lewis on the ground and you're a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, I think you got some work to do. And I don't seem like, if he couldn't do that on top of Derek Lewis, well, how does he do that on bottom against someone like Curtis Blaydes? I just don't have high hopes for him here in this fight because he does his best work when he's taking you down. It's possible he takes Curtis Blaydes down. I think that he's extremely athletic. I think if he lands a big overhand right, it could pose some problems for Blaydes. I just think Blaydes is the more clean fundamental striker here. And I think with his wrestling advantage, that will come into play. I like Blaydes here. And you'll look at as far as, you know, resume and all that stuff. Blaydes has fought the tougher guys, in my opinion. So give me Curtis Blaydes.
And actually, I wouldn't be surprised to see Tom Aspinall and Curtis Blaydes run back that one, just given the nature of that fight. I do think eventually you're going to see Tom Aspinall defend that interim championship. And who knows? Maybe it's as soon as May. Maybe they shelve him for a rumored English show this summer. All right, at flyweight, fellas, 25-year-old Macy Barber is the minus 198 betting favorite here, putting her five-fight winning streak on the line against Caitlin Sermonara, plus 164. Sermonara fighting with her married name for the first time in the UFC, the mixed martial arts athlete formerly known as Caitlin Chookagian. On the other side, Macy Barber, she's on a tear. She's never been finished in 15 pro fights. Starting to become one of the more well-rounded threats in this division. Seems like a good test for her, Bri, at this point in time. Sermonara, I think, still the goods at 35 years of age, but she has not fought since a decision loss to Manon Fiore all the way back at UFC 280 in 2022. Bri, what do you think here? Are you going Macy Barber, the near 2-1 favorite, or Caitlin Chookagian and Sermonara, the dog?
So I don't want to derail the conversation too much. I have a new light, right? And I looked at myself and I'm so pale. And it just reminded me of this weekend. We were watching the fights and my wife said, look how good John looks. John looks so tan.
Oh.
She said it under her breath a couple times. And I said, what the fuck's going on here? And I'm like, look at me. I'm like a ghost. So anyway, I got distracted by my own ghostness.
Let's go, Eric.
Johnny, your skin is fantastic. Speaking of this fight, I love this fight. Macy Barber, I love this career resurgence almost. And it was kind of made by the fans. She lost to Roxy, blew her knee out, came back a little too soon, didn't get quite. Now she's on a five-fight win streak. And she's coming off one of the best performances of her career with a finish. She's not rushing takedowns anymore. She's believing in her cardio, believing in her striking. She is mean in there, which I love. Caitlin, Chookagian, Sermonara, you know, fantastic fighter, amazing. This is going to be only been finished by the elites. Shevchenko got her, Andrade got her. If Macy could go out there and finish Caitlin, that's huge. But I see a decision win here. I see Caitlin going out there like a female tennis star with all her shots, right? I see it going to a decision, but I see Macy just dominating everywhere it goes. I think she's better on the ground. I think her volume won't match Caitlin, but I think the power will put Caitlin a step back a little bit. I'm big on Macy here. I like the number too. I thought we were going to get her a little bit higher. Believe it or not, I thought Macy was going to come in about 240. So minus 198 is gorgeous. Hopefully maybe we can get her down a little lower because Caitlin Chookagian is known to get some decisions to her. But I'm all over Barbara on this one.
Kenny, I mentioned the layoff for Sermonara. She did miss weight for that Manon Fiore fight for the first time in her career. Caitlin looks to be in the best shape of her life right now. Whether or not that produces the desired result this weekend at UFC 299, I don't know. But Kenny, if you have a prediction, we would certainly take it.
Yeah, I think this is a very interesting fight. You know, I'm definitely leaning towards Barber here as well. I don't see it perhaps going as dominantly as Brian does. It's possible. But, you know, for Caitlin, she is very disciplined and very smart when she fights. And I think she has the right tools to get it done here in the form of her jab, in the form of her teep to the body. But she has to stick and move consistently and not fall into that grind that Macy Barber can put on you. I think if Macy's able to get to that clinch and clinch fight, she has some of the best clinch fighting in the women's divisions. No question about that. And you look at their resumes, they both fought killers. I mean, their last five fights, they have a lot of tough names on there. But I like Macy here as well. I think that her high pressure game, her output with her volume, especially in that clinch, is going to pose some problems for Caitlin. So Caitlin really has to get those long range weapons going and do it consistently. So I think it'll be a relatively close fight. Both ladies are so tough, but I like the momentum and the game that Barber is bringing in right now. I think she has settled in a little bit more as far as integrating everything together. And she's balanced that with aggression like Brian was talking about. So I think this is going to be a fun fight.
All right. Nicely done there. That brings us to our eighth and final fight to break down. A prelim at UFC 299 at lightweight. Number six, Mateusz Gamrot, minus 410, the betting favorite, against the number 11th ranked lightweight and former divisional champion, Rafael Dos Anjos, plus 320. RDA, the likely future Hall of Famer, taking part in his 48th pro MMA fight. He's 21-13 in the UFC. You do the math, 35th UFC appearance. Last time out, Bri, August of 2023, he was on the wrong end of a five-round unanimous decision loss to Vicente Luque. On the other side, Gamrot has won 6 of 7. Last win came against Rafael Fiziev in a main event last September. And then you may recall, he weighed in as the backup 1 month later for the rematch between Islam Makhachev and Alexander Volkanovski. So is Gamrot right there in contention? How do you think he fares this weekend against the credentialed Rafael Dos Anjos?
Has there ever been a fighter in UFC history to bounce weight more than Dos Anjos? I mean, I know Kenny fought at every weight, but I mean, Dos Anjos, 170, 155. He can't pick a weight class. Listen, this is your classic RDA saying no to nobody. Oh, he wants to fight? Cool. He's coming off an 8 takedown. He gave up 8 takedowns to Vicente Luque. Mateusz Gamrot, am I saying that right? Did I butcher that one too?
Mateusz.
God, Brian! Mateusz Gamrot. That's all this guy does, is he takes you down. His striking's coming along, but the high pressure, high octane, super aggressive wrestling approach has been RDA's kryptonite. And I mean, minus 410 is outrageous. You want to take your RDA because you're like, he can land something, but Gamrot's got a chin on him. He's been landing on before. Benny Dariush put a big right hand on him, put him on his butt. He didn't go out from that. Don't see RDA at this point in his career putting him out either. I like Gamrot. This could be, if you're running, I'm not a parlay guy, but if you're running a four-legger parlay, this is a good anchor. I know 410's chunky, but if you need some wins on a fight night that a lot of these fights are very close on the line, which tells you it's going to be a great fight or fight card, Gamrot could be a good anchor. I like Gamrot here. I think he's going to decision him. But yeah, it's, you know, RDA needs to know how to say no every once in a while, I think. But, you know, that's what makes him the best. That's what makes him the best. So what are we going to do?
Kenflo, every time I take a piss, the price on Mateusz Gamrot goes up minus 410 right now on DraftKings Sportsbook. What do you think?
Oh, that's tremendous. Listen, man. Yeah, Brian nailed it. I think that RDA has always struggled with superior wrestlers, especially if he's up against the cage. That has been his kryptonite. No question about that. I do think he has the striking advantage here in this fight. And I do think RDA is going to be dangerous for those first 5 to 7 minutes. But Gamrot can put a pace on you, brother. I mean, this guy will be right in your face. He does have a chin that should hold up here. And, you know, I know RDA has struggled against some wrestlers that has been at 170 pounds. This fight, of course, at 155. So I don't know. I think that Gamrot, you know, still has the recipe to get it done here. Doesn't have so many miles on his, you know, career like RDA does, certainly. So I think RDA's best bet here is to try to get it done early. If he doesn't, I think that's where Gamrot really can take over. Don't love the fact that the line went up for Gamrot here, but as Brian alluded to, it's probably still worth it here. Gamrot's got a tough game for RDA to deal with.
All right, it is now the moment of truth. Time for Place Your Bets for UFC 299. Place Your Bets is brought to you by johnanik.com, where you can get 20% off your entire order with promo code One More Sleep. Couple more sleeps to go here before UFC 299. We quickly update the standings. Petrie was at -778.70. You go 2-2 on the week. Total nut is -67.52. So you're -846.22 on the year. Florian was at -1209.67. He goes 2-1 on the week. A total net positive $77.18 year to date, -1132.49. So the Petrie lead, $286.27. Brian, you have $1,000 to spend at UFC 299. How are you spending your money?
Well, John, don't get too comfortable writing those negatives down for your boy. I got the money hat on right now.
About
to pick a clean board. $300 on my guy, Sugar Sean O'Malley. I just have a good feeling about that. I really like Song Yadong as well. $300 on Song Yadong. I know a lot of people, that's a tough fight, but I love Song Yadong. Give me $200 on three-name Jack. Jackie D, because that's my guy. And then it'd be criminal not to bet Dustin Poirier at plus 180. Give me $200 on Dustin Poirier as well.
Four wagers.
All right, four straight wagers for Brian Petrie on Sean O'Malley, Song Yadong, Jack Della Maddalena, and Dustin Poirier. Ken Flo, $1,000 to spend at the monster that is UFC 299. Talk to me.
You got it, dog. All right, so this Poirier line I really like. Give me $400 on DP.
Wow.
Yeah, on MVP, give me $300. Oh. Give me $300 on MVP, and give me $150 on Blades. Okay. And then these parlays have been burning me. So what do I do? Let's go back in. Let's go Barber, Blades, O'Malley for another $150. Let's go.
All right, three-leg parlay to close it out. Macy Barber, Curtis Blades, and Sean O'Malley. I like what you both did with the action this weekend. If you want more from Brian Petrie, and why would you not, at Brian Petrie MMA BP. Great job. We will talk to you next week as the fight cards and the picks keep on coming. Great job, brother.
Johnny, have a great show. You're in your backyard, brother. I know not getting on a plane is going to help you a lot. I can't wait. I'll see you guys.
Thank you, man. There he is, Brian Petrie, with us for the Main Event Challenge, and place your bets every week here on the Anakin Florian podcast. Yeah, burning it. It all ends with the back-to-back. I was supposed to be in Saudi Arabia. That became a UFC fight night at the Apex, but certainly nice to hit the wheels to the pavement and not hitting the metal tube for UFC 299. All right, that is going to do it for this week. Thank you to Maddie Betts, Jason Anik, Brian Petrie for joining us for this extensive UFC 299 preview. We, of course, are back to recap the shit out of it with you on Monday, March 11th, as we see if Chito Vera can dethrone Sean O'Malley or if the road to UFC bantamweight glory and gold still goes through the great state of Arizona. Thank you to our executive producer, Cody Bone Marrow. Don't forget johnanik.com for all of your Anakin Florian podcast merchandise. That includes our newly launched One More Sleep designs, including the one for $299 that Ken Flo is wearing, not now, but right now. Also check out KennyFlorianMartialArts.com, and we will see all of you fine people on the other side of the pay-per-view next Monday on the DraftKings YouTube channel. For Ken Flo, I'm John Anik. Thank you all for watching, for listening, for subscribing. Tell your mom. We'll talk to you next week. You'll live.
So to the bread, he's cornbread.
Cornbread!
He's cornbread.
Cornbread!
Life is so precious, do the best that you can. Keep your hands on the bar, hit the open man. He's cornbread.
Cornbread!
He's cornbread.
Cornbread!
He's cornbread.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family, and 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start. Same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Beckley SAB to CV 2024, Proximo, Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.